This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ted Cruz, former Solicitor General for the state of Texas and a candidate for the Republican nomination for the open U.S. Senate seat in Texas in 2012. And Ted, thanks very much for being with us.
Greg, it's great to be with you.
Obviously, a momentous time in American politics with Senator Hutchison retiring now. Of course, this seat is open and there will be competitive primaries, I'm sure, on both sides. What convinced you to get in this race?
Well, I think there's a time of incredible need right now. We're really at a crossroads in our nation. President Obama is the most radical president this country's ever seen. And our nation has galloped further and faster towards government control of the economy and our lives than at any time in history. Voters are hungry for strong conservatives who will stand up and lead the fight to stop the Obama agenda, to defend free market principles, and to defend the Constitution. And that's precisely why it is I'm running for Senate.
And in terms of the experience you would bring to the job, you've outlined the reasons why you're running. What makes you believe that you're the best person to do that?
Well, I spent 5.5 years as the Solicitor General of Texas, the chief lawyer for the state of Texas in front of the U.S. Supreme Court and all the state and federal appellate courts. And the heart of my campaign is running on a proven conservative record. Voters are understandably tired of candidates that talk a good game and then get into office and prove to be utterly unreliable jellyfish. My campaign is based on a proven conservative record where during my tenure as Solicitor General, over and over again, Texas stood up, led the nation defending conservative principles, and we won on a national level. Let me give you some examples, Greg. We defended the Ten Commandments monument on the state capitol grounds in Texas. We took it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we won 5-4. We defended the Pledge of Allegiance when a federal court of appeals struck it down. We brought together all 50 states. We went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we won unanimously. We defended the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. We brought together 31 states. We went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we won 5-4. And probably most critically, in a case called Medellin versus Texas, we stood up to the World Court and the United Nations. This is an issue that was just in the news recently with the execution of Humberto Leal. What happened was the World Court, which is the judicial arm of the United Nations, issued an order trying to bind the U.S. justice system, ordering us to reopen the convictions of 51 murderers across the country. Texas stood up and fought the World Court and the United Nations. On the other side were 90 foreign nations, and sadly was the President of the United States, who attempted to order the state courts to obey the World Court. We fought the World Court, we fought the United Nations, we fought 90 foreign nations, and we fought the President of the United States, and we defended U.S. sovereignty, and we won 6-3.
We're talking with Republican U.S. Senate candidate Ted Cruz running in the state of Texas. And Mr. Cruz, recently you wrote for National Review Online talking about the debt situation, which is obviously consuming a lot of the headlines and the political oxygen in Washington right now. It seems like not only you're extremely dissatisfied with the president, but in some ways also the Republican leadership, which has said point blank that they want to raise the debt ceiling. Point blank, they've said that. You have said in this piece, as well as elsewhere, that you believe that unless the deal is right with the full cutting, capping, and balancing, that it's not worth doing because we're not headed for an immediate fall off the cliff on August 2nd or August 3rd, despite what we've heard from some folks here in Washington. Explain what you believe is the right way forward here and what's acceptable and what's not in terms of a deal.
Well, I think that's exactly right. One of the big reasons, unfortunately, that Barack Obama got elected in 2008 is Republicans failed to lead. And this is a decision point. It's a decision point for our leadership and for our party. And in my opinion, we need to stand strong. It's what the American people expect of us. On my website, tedcruz.org, we have launched a national petition to stand strong on the debt ceiling. And I would urge your listeners to come to tedcruz.org and sign that petition. In my view, we should raise the debt ceiling only if three very explicit preconditions are met. Number one, significant cuts in the real budget right now. And by that I mean real cuts, not simply decreases in the rate of growth, which is what typically passes for a cut in Washington. Number two, enforceable spending caps going forward to tie the hands of Congress. And number three is by far the most important, that Congress passes a strong balanced budget amendment, a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution that includes a supermajority to raise taxes and that limits federal spending to a percentage of GDP. And the reason the third is so important is we have had a systematic problem for years is that in that people get elected to Congress, and the way they stay there is they buy votes and they continually expand the size, power, and spending of government. We have a moment right now to put in a balanced budget amendment a constraint so that the Constitution can serve, as Thomas Jefferson put it, as chains to bind the mischief of government. And I think that's exactly what we should do. I'm standing with Senator Jim DeMint and Senator Mike Lee that are leading the fight on cut, cap, and balance, and I think those are the absolute preconditions we should insist upon before any increase in the debt ceiling.
And do you think the American people who seemed to vote for smaller, more responsible government last year have the stomach for potentially going past the deadline and watching Congress and the White House have to work on significant spending cuts if, in fact, the debt ceiling isn't raised?
Well, on the debt ceiling, I think the president is engaged in scaremongering right now. What the president and the Treasury Secretary are suggesting is that if we don't raise the debt ceiling, the United States will default on our national debt, and that's nonsense. Right now, federal revenues are approximately $200 billion a month, and interest on the debt is approximately $20 billion a month. There's more than ample revenues to ensure that we honor our debt, and we should do so. The nation made a commitment, and we need to stand by our commitment as we have throughout the history of this nation. What not raising the debt ceiling would mean is a significant decrease in federal spending immediately, and it would be akin to a federal government shutdown. But the consequences would not be a default on the debt. Rather, what it would be is putting pressure on both sides to adopt real spending cuts and to put into place structural changes to get us off the path we're on. Greg, as you know, we are on an unsustainable path. This president has taken the debt of his 43 predecessors, 43 presidents before Barack Obama. Barack Obama has proposed tripling the debt that it took us over 200 years to build. We are headed on a path with spending and deficit and debt that ends up where Greece is right now, with a nation and an economy crumbling because its leaders spend more than we have. And it is a time for some adult leadership in Congress, and I hope that's exactly what we're going to see.
Last question, which may put you on the spot a little bit. You talked about what we're lacking as you see it in the current president. Do you see a Republican hopeful or potential hopeful, knowing full well, of course, that your current governor is considering getting into the race, that would be a strong advocate for exactly what you just outlined?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, Texas Governor Rick Perry has not yet decided whether he's going to run or not. I think he'd be fantastic if he ran. And I do think the central question in the Republican primary for president is going to be which candidate is best prepared to stand up and fight to stop the Obama agenda, to defend free market principles, and to defend the Constitution. And as it so happens, I think that's precisely the same question that voters are asking in the Republican primary for Senate in the state of Texas, which is which candidate is best prepared to stand up and fight to stop the Obama agenda, defend free market principles, and defend the Constitution. And one of the incredible things about our campaign is that we have been seeing a conservative army all across Texas and all across the nation. We've had donors from virtually every state in the union. We've been endorsed by Club for Growth and Freedom Works and Mark Levin and RedState.com. We have seen an army of conservatives coming together. And so I would ask every one of your listeners, come to our website, tedcruz.org. Check out my proven conservative record, not just of talking the talk, but of walking the walk, standing, fighting for these principles, and winning on a national level. And please come support us. The way we're going to win is continuing to build this conservative grassroots army all across the nation. And we're going to take back our nation and defend our individual liberty.
Well, once again, the website is tedcruz.org. And anytime there's an open Senate seat, there's going to be some very active primaries and general elections. So Texas will be a state we'll be watching closely, as well as your campaign, sir. Thank you very much for your time today.
It's great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Former Texas Solicitor General Ted Cruz, now a candidate for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate in the Lone Star State. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.